Chapter 9. Avalanche. There was shouting coming from within the pathology department. Lucy scanned her pass and stepped inside. Alexei, the receptionist, was sheltering behind the desk island, calling into a radio. In the corridor stood a patient in a gown. Her stance was wide and low, like an NFL player preparing for a scrimmage. The patient agitated from side to side, trying to dodge past the technicians, who nervously mirrored her movements from behind their protective suits, trying to keep her contained. The woman yelled furiously, demanding to be released. The technician behind the woman edged closer, preparing to make a grab, but the patient spotted him. She elbowed him hard in the face, sending him crashing to the ground. She leapt over his groaning body and made for the far exit, but two security guards sped around the corner, blocking off the corridor. Skidding to a halt, the barefooted woman backtracked hastily, threatening untold violence as her captors closed in. A door adjacent to the woman opened, and Harvey stepped out with a look of grandfatherly concern on his rosy face. His shabby-looking burgundy sweater matched the fluffiness of his white beard.
"Oh, dear me, what's going on out here?"
he said, noting the technician sat against the wall, tilting his bleeding nose backwards.
"Let me the hell out of this place," cried the woman in the gown.
"You're not supposed to be here,"
said Harvey, adjusting his round spectacles with intrigue.
"No freaking way! I came to see my doctor, and the next thing I know, I'm wearing this thing, and these freaks are trying to load me into a cell," said the woman.
"Clearly there's been a misunderstanding. Can we find this woman's clothes, please?"
said Harvey to the second technician. He gestured to the lobby where Lucy was standing.
"You're welcome to take a seat while we find your things, ma'am. What was your doctor's name? I'll see if I can find out what's going on,"
said Harvey apologetically. The woman looked around anxiously and nodded. She took a few cautious steps towards the lobby, passing the injured technician and keeping the remaining one at arm's length.
"Can we get you a glass of water while you wait?"
said Harvey, inviting her to take a seat.
"No, I'm good,"
said the woman, her eyes shifting around the corridor.
"Alexei, could you take this woman's details, please, and arrange transport back to her residence?"
The receptionist swallowed nervously and approached the woman, stopping several yards away and kneeling down with a notepad. As the woman gave her details, Harvey pulled a syringe from his lab coat and stabbed her arm in a swift, delicate motion. The woman leapt up with a gasp, shoving the receptionist over and making for the main doors. The two security guards tackled her immediately, bringing her down with a cry. They held her in place with latex-covered hands as she struggled and screamed with anger. The woman spat out, hitting one of the guards in the eye. He recoiled in disgust, wiping saliva from his face while his colleague fought to get restraints on the patient. Within a few seconds, her struggling had stopped, and she was limp.
"Unit C," said Harvey.
The guard and second technician dragged the unconscious woman back through the corridor and into a room unfamiliar to Lucy.
"We'll need to give you a course of antivirals for that," said Harvey, patting the other security guard on the back and deftly injecting him with a second syringe.
The man looked at him in confusion, then slumped to the ground.
"See that he's admitted,"
said Harvey, helping the fallen receptionist back to his feet. Harvey gave Lucy a warm smile and welcomed her into the chaos.
"Mondays, right? Come check this out. I suspect it will be of interest to you,"
he said, leading her to the sedated woman's ward. Harvey cleared the security scanners and ushered Lucy into the laboratory unit. A wave of heckling greeted them as they entered. The ward was larger than Lopez's, but similar in layout. To Lucy's astonishment, 9 of the cells were occupied by newly admitted adults.
"It does get loud when you keep them all together like this," said Harvey, gesturing to the occupants.
The guard and technician emerged from behind the final cell where they deposited the sedated woman.
"What do you think?"
said Harvey, stroking his luxurious sideburns.
"There's 9 of them? That's more than I was..."
She stopped abruptly, nearly betraying the knowledge Chris had given her.
"It's spreading,"
she summarized, folding her arms. Her eyes lingered on the sedated woman. She'd been left in the recovery position on the cell floor. Harvey followed Lucy's gaze.
"I made the mistake of putting her next to patient 1 last night, and she somewhat freaked out. On reflection, I've decided it's best we keep this new cohort separate, at least while their symptoms are in the early stages. Though I'm unclear as to how she got out. I'll have to talk to the technicians on duty." How is he? Patient one. I've not had a chance to check. Care to join me for morning rounds? Said Harvey, leading the way. As they approached Lopez's ward, Harvey donned a set of ear protection from the external rack. Lucy copied and followed him inside. The injured lab technician joined them, with red speckled tissue paper stuffed up each nostril. Overhead strip lights blazed down on Lopez's cell, saturating it with harsh white light, while sporadic blasts of white noise played out. The blasts varied in duration and frequency, putting Lucy further on edge. She stepped towards the glass cell wall with trepidation. Lopez sat in the far corner, curled up in a ball, with his back to them. He was trembling.
Good morning, Major,
said Harvey, cutting the white noise and removing his ear protection. Lopez didn't react.
We would like to inspect your skin this morning, Major. Could you kindly approach the glass? Said Harvey, peering in.
Lopez hunched over further, drawing his knees closer to his chest and keeping his head hidden beneath his folded arms.
Harvey gave the technician a nod, and the man headed for the rear of the cell, entering it a moment later through the back door. The technician placed a hand on Lopez's arm, which had become so thin his fingers wrapped around it easily. The man tried to bring Lopez to his feet, but he resisted, doing his best to maintain his curled position. The technician stooped down and grabbed both of Lopez's arms and heaved him away from the corner. With a cry, the technician let go of Lopez and stumbled back in fear. The major's legs fell flat, lowering his arms and revealing the purple fetus he was cradling.
Oh my God,
said Harvey, pressing his face to the glass in astonishment. He radioed for support while Lucy stared on in dread. A team of three swiftly arrived in hazmat suits, wheeling an incubator into the ward. The team approached Lopez and tried to reach the fetus, but Lopez resisted, shielding it with his shoulders until the crew overpowered him and tore the baby from his arms. The infant's limbs flailed helplessly, and it let out a stuttering cry as the technician lowered it into the incubator. It lay on its back, unswaddled, reaching and kicking out for contact, with its puffy eyes sealed shut.
Just remarkable, said Harvey as the team wheeled the incubator away.
Lopez reached after them feebly as the cell door slammed shut. His arm lingered, outstretched for a desperate moment, before falling limply to his side.
He slumped further down the wall, like he'd been struck by a firing squad, while the technicians re-emerged, wheeling the sterile crib past the glass facade.
You know where to take that, said Harvey as they passed by.
Lucy glimpsed inside and gasped. The infant looked entirely human, save for the purple tint to its skin, which was already fading. The infant continued to cry in short, gurgling bursts, but its voice was weak. Lucy's mind flashed back to her miscarriage in Boston, and to the misformed, lifeless mass of gelatin she'd scraped out of her own abdomen. Her hand moved instinctively to the scarred flesh beneath her uniform.
I never expected to see such results, and so quickly. I must commend your excellent intuition, Lucy. It appears our combined approach has accelerated the disease's progression, as hypothesized. The real excitement begins now, of course. Thanks to the increase in patients we've had overnight, we can see if the results are generalizable, said Harvey, beaming at Lucy.
Muttering from Lopez's cell interrupted Harvey's ruminations.
He's trying to speak, said Lucy, stepping closer to the glass wall.
Lopez's arms were stick-thin, while his skin was a mass of raw lesions and swollen blisters. Lucy stifled her tears as she pressed a hand to the glass, while Harvey crossed over to the control panel and slid up a fader, amplifying the sound from the cell.
You betrayed me,
repeated Lopez, his words slurred and his gestures unsteady.
Who? Who betrayed you?
Said Harvey curiously. Lucy shuffled as she mentally flashed through the lab's exits. Her leg began to tremble as adrenaline flooded her muscles.
My country, said Lopez weakly.
His gown was soaked with sweat. It stuck to his frame like cling wrap. His hand rested on his abdomen where the uneven flesh created contours beneath the wet garment.
Let me finish,
said Lopez, feebly swatting an invisible detractor away.
No one's interrupting you, Major, said Harvey.
Lopez looked up in confusion and pain.
The dark rings around his eyes extended to his cheekbones, which protruded sharply through his taut skin. He stared at Lucy and Harvey with the fear of a dementia victim.
"This is a medical first. Are you coming in?" said Harvey excitedly as he grabbed a hazmat suit from the wall.
Lucy stared at Lopez, a tear trickling down her cheek.
"Lucy," said Harvey, tossing her a face mask.
The laboratory door buzzed open, and Adrian hurried inside. His trench coat billowed behind him as he rushed towards them. Lucy shook herself and discreetly struck the teardrop from her face.
"Ah, Senator, you join us at a fine moment. We're about to make history," said Harvey with a twinkle in his eye.
"It'll have to wait. We've just picked up 4 new infecteds from the same neighborhood."
"I thought you had this thing under control, Harvey. The Major's in quarantine, yet the pathogen's spreading faster than ever. I'm diverting all available resources to find the source."
"Of course you can have whomever you need from my team, Adrian, but my work must remain here. We are on the brink of a discovery that could change the course of the war."
"I sincerely hope that's true," said Adrian, peering into Lopez's cell in disgust.
"I shan't keep you, Senator,"
said Harvey, continuing to don his protective gear.
"Lucy, you're needed,"
said Adrian, exiting the lab with a grim expression on his face.
"Shouldn't I stay here? Harvey might need help with the Major," said Lucy, appealing to the director.
"You heard our dear Senator. I'm afraid your talents are in high demand, Lucy. Fear not. I plan on capitalizing on our excellent work with the Major thus far. Truly, we are making progress. It would be my pleasure to talk you through it when you return,"
said Harvey, sliding his glasses back to the bridge of his nose. The door bleeped open, and Adrian stepped back into the threshold, glaring at Lucy impatiently.
"People are waiting," he snapped.
Lucy threw a final glance at Lopez's quivering figure, then tore herself away from the lab. She hurried to catch up with Adrian, who pressed ahead through the ward until they reached a meeting room. The space was cramped, and the half-dozen swivel chairs were already filled when she entered. Lucy filed in beside the other new recruits, standing awkwardly against the wall. Adrian pushed past them to the front of the room with a grave expression and began the briefing. They had 8 hours to carry out the contact tracing of every infected person being held in the pathology department. Not only that, but they had to bring in any subsequent infecteds they discovered in the process. Patients who would, themselves, require the same level of outbreak investigation. Lucy and the team were swiftly issued with clipboards, gloves, and masks. She followed the new recruits to the holding ward, where they received their first patients. Lucy was assigned a woman in her 30s, who was clearly terrified by the new environment and the sudden arrival of the investigative squad. The woman ignored Lucy's questions, persisting instead with her own panicked requests for medical help, for legal aid, for her family to be told. Lucy agitated as 2 technicians left the ward together and a 3rd finalized their patient's questionnaire. Lucy implored the woman to cooperate for the sake of those she might help, but it was no use. The woman was petrified. Lucy stared at the pitiful woman and the others trapped in the ward alongside her and wondered which ones Harvey would come for first. She had to stop it all. She swallowed hard, looked the woman in the eye, and lied. Lucy gave whatever reassurance it took to get the woman to offer up her contact history.
"So I'll get to see a doctor now? You're going to tell them, right? Straighten this whole misunderstanding out?"
said the woman anxiously as Lucy recorded the name and location of her 3rd and final contact.
"Someone will be with you shortly," said Lucy, placing a fleeting hand against the glass and hurrying from the lab.
"Wait here," said Lucy to her assigned driver as they pulled up before the security barriers. To their left, the stars and stripes flew proudly from the power plant entrance. Yellow and orange algae clung to the steel pole, clustering densely at the base and fading towards the tip, giving it a sunset tinge. Lucy hopped from the car and slipped between the security barriers on foot. In the center of the lot was a security booth, where a flustered guard stumbled out to halt Lucy's approach. She flashed her department credentials and demanded the whereabouts of 2 particular workers. The guard directed her towards a red brick building behind which 2 beige chimneys reached into the sky, each churning out thick columns of steam. Lucy hastened into the building, donning her mask and gloves as per Adrian's orders. A worker led her through a corridor full of tall gray panel boards. Each was fitted with a blue control interface that resembled a calculator, red and green status lights, and orange danger signs warning of the extreme voltage contained within. Lucy stuffed her fingers in her ears as they entered the turbine hall. Vast combustion engines filled the air with the high-pitched hum of several jet engines. Her guide, with earplugs fitted, interrupted two workers who were examining a control panel. He introduced Lucy, then returned to his duties. Lucy's heart sank as she saw the pair. Both were showing early signs of lesions on their necks and cheeks. She flashed her badge and urged them to find somewhere private, aware of the irony as she strained to be heard above the machinery. The woman looked puzzled but led the way across the hall through a corridor to a control room, where the ambient white noise faded to a distant whisper. Monitors across the room displayed flowcharts indicating the status of each part of the plant.
"What's this about?" said the woman. She had small round ears upon which rested a pair of safety glasses. Muddy blonde hair poked out from beneath the hard hat and came together in a greasy ponytail at the back. Her fingers were dark with soot and engine oil, and smudge marks were streaked across her white cheeks. The man beside her wore the same high-visibility jacket and safety gear. His unruly, center-parted black hair curled outwards as it dusted his collar. A pattern of pinkish-red lined his jawbone, hiding among his dark stubble.
"Listen to me. We don't have much time. You both caught something off Gabby. She's in your block, right? She's become infected with a disease linked to the D4 creatures. We have reason to believe you might be infected, too. The government wants to quarantine you," said Lucy.
"Like isolation?" said the man.
"Yes, but you can't let that happen."
"I'm not planning on it. I'm out of here."
"Wait, you can't leave. If you do, you'll get caught."
"I've made it this far. I'll take my chances."
"It started small, right?" said Lucy as the man marched towards the door. He paused and looked at her. "The rash. I bet it started as a dot on your back, or chest, or wherever. Now it's spread all over. In the next 24 hours, you're going to get so weak, you won't be able to walk. Your skin's going to blister and shrivel, and you're going to start to hallucinate. If you want to live, you need to lay low and get to this address as quickly as possible. Head for the basement, don't let anyone see you," said Lucy, scribbling the law office location down on a piece of paper.
"Can't you take us there?" said the man.
"There are more like you. I have to find them before the government does."
"Why should we trust you?"
interjected the woman, snatching the paper.
"If you don't, you'll regret it for the rest of your life, which will be short and excruciating."
"Can you at least get us out of here? If the authorities are looking for people like us, it'll look suspicious if we try and disappear. You could make it look like you're arresting us or whatever."
"It's too risky. I can't let my chauffeur see you. He'd report you. You'll have to wait till I'm gone, then make a move. Tell your supervisor you're escorting me to the lobby. Then at least you'll be near the exit."
"I'm not sure about this," said the woman.
"You don't have a choice. Let's go."
The man stepped into the corridor. At the same time, the door at the far end opened, letting in the hum of turbine noise. A figure stood in the far threshold, clutching a clipboard through latex gloves with a mask covering her face and a white lab coat hanging from her slender shoulders. It was the young technician from Lopez's lab. The technician spotted the man's lesions immediately. She waved and beckoned him towards her. Lucy grabbed the man and pulled him back into the room. The technician set off toward them at a pace. She pulled a radio from her pocket and issued hasty instructions as she advanced along the rows of electrical paneling.
"We need to find another way out. Now," said Lucy.
"Who is that?"
"She's from my department. They're looking for you, for all of you. You have to get us out of here."
"No, we should turn ourselves in. They'll help us. They have to," said the woman anxiously.
"They will kill you," said Lucy, shaking her.
"This way,"
called the man, shoving a door open on the far side of the control room. Lucy grabbed the woman by the arm and ran after him.
"Hey, stop,"
cried the technician, breaking into a run. Lucy and the woman rushed after the man, winding their way through a series of rooms, ignoring the cries of stop echoing behind them. They sped through a staff waiting room, stumbling over outstretched legs and dodging ratty furniture. A worker rose to his feet with a white bread roll in hand and tried to hail his fleeing colleague.
"Hey, yo, Brenda, someone's looking for you,"
he called as they raced by. They hurried through into another corridor. It was long and tunnel-like. Thick green steel pipes ran the length of the building, segmented by regularly spaced pressure dials.
The green paint was flecked with yellow speckles of sweating algae.
Careful!
Cried Lucy, catching the infected man as he slipped on the metal grill below them. She looked at where he'd trodden, spotting thin, rust-tinted roots poking up through the mesh. More cries echoed behind them. They rushed to the far end of the corridor, where Brenda slammed on the gray panic bar, flinging the orange emergency exit door open. Lucy squinted as they emerged into the open yard and raced across the tar towards the service entrance.
Stop them!
Called the technician, sprinting after them. A patrol truck sped around the corner, cutting off the group's escape. The infected man changed tack immediately and sprinted towards an adjacent building. Lucy and Brenda raced after him, rushing inside the darkened block, all three of them closely pursued by the technician. The dark building was a claustrophobic labyrinth of even more pipes and endless cabling.
Hurry! This w-
began the man, weaving between the metalwork. But as he disappeared further inside, his voice cut off with a gasp of horror. Lucy and Brenda piled into the man's back as he ground to an abrupt halt. Spotting the danger, Lucy clamped a hand over Brenda's mouth before she could scream. Protruding through the broken concrete were dozens of twig-like rusty stems. They stood around 2 foot high in a horseshoe formation, packed tightly together like fence slats. In the center, curled up, was a glistening four-legged creature. It was furless, covered only in a layer of skin so pale it was translucent, revealing a network of veins and cartilage beneath.
"You're under arrest," called the technician, bursting into the room after them.
The creature twitched. Lucy stepped back and frantically gestured to the technician to be silent. At that same moment, the patrol soldiers burst in through the far entrance, sending a shaft of light across the building's metal intestines.
"Freeze!"
called the foremost soldier, targeting Lucy's group.
"Wait!"
cried Lucy, but it was too late. The creature's head snapped up. It sprang onto all fours with its back arched, revealing a segmented exoskeleton, like a pangolin's. Its wet skin pulled taut, and the creature let out a rasp like a steam valve being released. Its translucence vanished as swirling pigments activated across its body like colored dye being dropped into water. The creature faded into a shimmer, blending with its dark, metallic surroundings. With a snarl, it began bounding towards them, laying a trail of wet footprints heading straight for the group.
"Run!"
cried Lucy as the wet slaps of paws striking concrete bore down upon them. Brenda tripped in the confusion, colliding with Lucy and sending them both crashing to the ground. The infected man leapt over them and kept running for the exit, where the technician stood transfixed. Lucy shielded her face in fear as the shimmering creature pounced. With a rasp, it leapt clean over her and Brenda and continued sprinting. It swiftly closed in on the fleeing man, squeezing alongside him. The creature barged him out of the way and bounded on towards the technician. The scientist stumbled back from the doorway in shock, retreating into the yard. The darkness of Lucy's building framed the woman perfectly as she turned to flee. The shimmering creature hurtled across the threshold. In an instant, the sunlight erased its camouflage and returned its skin to translucence. The creature leapt, unabated, and with a single great bound pounced upon the technician, sinking its claws into her back. She fell with a scream as the creature landed hard upon her. It let out a guttural rasp, preparing to bite, when bullets rang out, punching through its torso. The creature straightened up and swayed, stumbling away, before collapsing as several more bullets tore through its body. Lucy scrambled up from the floor and raced outside into the lot to the splayed technician. She fell to her knees and surveyed the woman's lacerated back in horror. She rolled her over. The technician's eyes were wide with fear and disbelief. The young woman tried to speak as blood spluttered up between her lips. She reached a trembling hand up towards Lucy's face, then fell still.
"Target eliminated,"
called a soldier as he reached the creature's carcass.
"Yo, Beckley, we got a civilian down," called the second soldier, arriving at Lucy's side.
Lucy stared at him in disbelief.
"I know you,"
she said, astonished. The soldier ignored her as he urgently checked the bleeding technician for signs of life.
"Yo, Hofstein, should I call an ambulance?"
said Beckley, abandoning the dead creature and approaching the fallen technician.
"No, no hospital," said Lucy, interjecting.
"Quiet, you're under arrest,"
said Hofstein, examining the dead technician's wounds, which had clotted rapidly.
For what? Said Lucy. Aiding and abetting? Disobeying orders? Manslaughter? Take your pick. I reckon this woman's death's on you, he said.
It's Private Hofstein, right? Said Lucy, pulling off her face mask and addressing him more closely. The soldier looked up at Lucy properly and his eyes widened in recognition.
You're sick, said Lucy, pointing to the red skin around his collar.
Hofstein stepped back from her and raised his gun, bracing the rifle against his shoulder as he fixed her in sight.
Oh, my God,
said Brenda as she and the infected man caught up, tentatively approaching the fresh body.
Get out of here, now, before more people come, insisted Lucy.
The pair of plant workers backed away fearfully and made for the service exit.
Stay right where you are,
insisted Beckley, glaring at the workers.
I know you too. You're the other one from the video. You were with Major Lopez on that mission, said Lucy, standing up.
How do you know about that?
Said Beckley, eyeing her up.
She was at the medical council, said Hofstein.
You're infected. Both of you are, just like them, said Lucy, gesturing to the workers.
Fuck you, I'm fine, said Beckley, spitting.
I can see it on your skin, asshole. You won't be able to hide it from other people much longer, said Lucy.
What are you saying? Said Hofstein.
The outbreak's spreading. Major Lopez wasn't the source, which means one of you fuckers was lying about what happened on that mission.
Hofstein and Beckley looked at each other uneasily. Lucy gestured to the infected workers to go while she kept the soldiers distracted.
Is Major okay? I felt real bad turning him in and all, but the department's got these posters saying it's our duty, like we gotta report stuff, said Hofstein anxiously.
He's being tortured as we speak. If you don't help me, the same thing will happen to the pair of you, so you'd better quit playing dumb and tell me what actually went down.
I was telling the truth, said Hofstein earnestly.
Me too,
said Beckley, scratching his neck anxiously.
There were four of you. Where's the fourth guy? Said Lucy.
Leckford? I don't know. I've not seen him since the mission.
Christ, we have to find him right now. And on your heads be it if we're already too late.
Beckley creaked the door open warily. The dorm stank of sweat and stale air. The blinds were drawn, and dust swirled in the shafts of light that poked between the gaps.
Leckford? You hear?
Said Beckley, edging forwards. The top floor of the barracks was deserted, save for an untidy pile of blankets on the furthest bunk.
Leckford?
Repeated Beckley. The floorboards creaked underfoot as he nudged closer.
We just want to talk, bud, said Hofstein.
With a roar, Leckford leapt up from the bed, clutching a knife in his hand. He staggered out into the central aisle between the two rows of bunks, and the blanket fell away, revealing the raw mass of lesions across his body.
Shit!
Cried Beckley, backing up.
Put the knife down, dude. We're here to help,
said Hofstein, lowering his gun and raising his hands peacefully. Leckford shifted from side to side as his eyes flitted between the soldiers.
Just take it nice and easy there, friend.
Put the blade away, continued Hofstein, taking a cautious step closer. With a yell, Leckford lunged towards him, slashing with the knife as he went. Hofstein leapt to the side into a gully between the two bunks, but Leckford jumped after him, trapping Hofstein against the wall. As Leckford raised his knife to slash again, Beckley rushed in and clubbed the lesioned soldier with his rifle. Leckford slid to the ground, still clutching the knife. Hofstein fell upon him, pinning his arms and prizing the blade away, while Beckley knelt on Leckford's back until he ceased struggling. After a few moments, the disease-addled soldier conceded, and his breathing slowed. Beckley dragged him up by the arms and propped him against the gully wall. It had taken them over an hour to track Leckford down. It transpired he'd deserted his post and bribed another soldier to cover for him. It was Beckley who'd suggested checking the disused portion of the barracks. However, trying to avoid detection had slowed their search significantly, costing Lucy precious time against the other technicians.
It's no good, he's hallucinating, said Lucy, thumping a bedpost in frustration.
I ain't hallucinating shit. It's you guys who are trying to arrest me, said Leckford, rubbing his head. You knew it was us, and you still attack me? Motherfucker.
I wasn't gonna do nothing. I was trying to get you to back up, said Leckford.
You lied about what happened on the field mission, and because of it, the outbreak's spreading. I need you to tell me the truth. Did you touch the bodies? Said Lucy, kneeling down before him and looking the soldier in the eye.
Who's she?
Said Leckford, wiping sweat from his brow.
Just answer the question, said Beckley.
I don't know what you're talking about,
said Leckford, looking away, shivering. You can either tell me what happened and I'll help you to survive, or you can keep lying, and I'll hand you over to my lab where they'll torture you until you lose your mind, said Lucy calmly. This changed Leckford's attitude somewhat. He looked at her with a flash of genuine fear. He glanced to Hofstein and Beckley for reassurance, but the pair stared back at him with loathing.
It was the gun,
said Leckford, his shoulders dropping in defeat. What gun? Said Lucy.
The one they all killed themselves with, in the house.
I thought it was Major Lopez who handled the gun. Private Hofstein testified that it was the major who put the gun in the guy's hand.
Yeah, and when he was done, I stole it, all right?
Why? Asked Beckley, appalled.
Because they don't feed us shit here, and I knew I could sell it,
said Leckford bitterly.
Who did you sell it to? Said Lucy.
Some baker in Petworth.
I need a name.
I don't know it. She's just some woman. It's not a government thing. She does it on the side.
You mean it's black market? Said Beckley.
No such thing in a free country, said Leckford.
Hofstein's radio crackled, calling on him and Beckley to report in. Lucy straightened up resolutely. Get yourselves to this address. There'll be others there. Wait with them in the basement. Take ropes. You'll need to restrain each other. Do not get seen. If you're caught, we all die, said Lucy, scribbling down the location of the law office.
What's going to happen to us? Said Beckley.
That depends on whether you make it there or not. I have to find the baker and stop the outbreak. Get to this address. I'll come for you, said Lucy, ignoring the soldiers' calls for answers and dashing for the exit.